Okay, let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. And we have two texts, if you like. Well, verse 17 and then verse 23 and verse 24. Let me read them and then we'll stand and pray and then I'll preach on them. So, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then verse 23, and whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Just stand for a moment and pray. Again, Lord God, we have the privilege of hearing and considering your words. Grant us your help. Holy Spirit, come. One who inspired Paul to write these words so long ago, now bring them home to our hearts with freshness and life, we pray, so that our lives might never be the same again, but they might be lived for your honour and glory. Hear us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've given this sermon, if you like, the title, Living with Purpose, Whatever You Do. Living with Purpose. And these verses remind us of what that purpose is. They're great verses for a new year. I was thinking, what to preach on? First Sunday of a new year. Well, here's some verses for us this morning. How about learning them this afternoon and making them your motto for this year? So we're at the beginning of a year. We don't know what's going to hold. But the question for us this morning is, how are we going to live? What are we going to do with this year? And I want to remind you this morning then from these verses, the glorious life that the Lord calls us to live as Christians. The Christian life is a truly transformed life, isn't it? We've been rescued from living bland, empty lives just with for ourselves and with a few fleeting ambitions. And we've been brought into a life in which everything has new meaning, everything has new purpose. Everything that we do now has a glorious significance. Even the most mundane, ordinary things have a new purpose and significance. And we need to see that. We need to grasp that again as we begin a new year. The Christian life is radically different, isn't it, from the lives that people around us are living, who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. So two people can be doing the same thing, they can have the same task, do the same job, one of them's a Christian, the other one isn't, and there is a world of difference between those two actions. Because one has eternal significance, as it's done in the Lord's name, for the Lord, with thankfulness to him, and for his glory. And suddenly that task is transformed. And that's what we've been brought into if we're Christians here this morning. That's what Jesus meant, wouldn't he, when he said, I've come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Life in all its fullness. Life as it's meant to be. That is how you and I, brothers and sisters, are called to live this year. That's what the forgiveness of our sins and the reconciliation that Christ secured for us on the cross has brought us into. Now, I want to ask you then this morning, those of you here, those of you who are watching online, if you're honest this morning, are you just sort of going through life? You know, perhaps with a few, pleasures and enjoyments, but making your own sort of purpose, but you're missing the real purpose of life. This glorious significance that comes from knowing God and being able to live your life for him, doing everything for him, in fellowship with him. That's what life is. True life is. And of course, if you're not a Christian, your sin cuts you off from that. It stops you from having that life and knowing that life. It stops you from knowing the God who is life. And yet, in Jesus Christ, you can know that. You can enter into it and live it this morning. So if we're Christians here this morning, this is something we need to embrace more and more. And we need to enter into more and more. And that's my prayer for us this morning. So let's just look at these verses. And the first thing I want us to notice is the scope of them. Being a Christian, in other words, affects everything we do and everything we say. Do you see that? Look at verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deeds. Or verse 23. Whatever you do. Paul says something, writes something similar in 1 Corinthians 10:31. And therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So we're being told, aren't we, that being a Christian isn't something that just affects Sundays. It isn't just something that has an impact on the major decisions and events of our lives, the main sort of activities of our lives. It impacts and shapes absolutely everything. Every little detail of our lives. Everything we do, everything we say. So in the context that we read, Paul is going to apply, isn't he, to church life and family life and work life and our relationships with the people around us. And yet here we're reminded of the basic principle that there's not one area of life, there's not one thing we do, there's not one conversation we have that isn't affected by this fact. I am a Christian. So whether you're washing up or loading the dishwasher or doing some maths at school or playing a game or pursuing your hobby or doing some gardening or out for a drive or doing a boring task at work or speaking to your neighbour or sweeping the path or playing a musical instrument or singing a hymn or eating a meal, every aspect of life, all of those things are impacted by this verse before us this morning. In other words, there's not one thing you're going to do this year. There's not one word you're going to speak this year that isn't to be shaped by the teaching of these verses before us this morning. Now, I want to say to you this morning, this is thrilling. Actually, you don't, it's not difficult to tell with your mask on, but you don't look particularly thrilled this morning. But this is thrilling truth. It's life-transforming truth. And it's so different from the legalism that the church at Colossae was threatened by, and that we can easily fall into. In chapter 2, we only read chapter 3, but particularly in chapter 2, there were those going into Colossae and saying that in order to be truly saved, in order to be a real child of God, there are things you need to do and not do. And they had a list of things. Things you had to do, man-made rules, things you had to eat, not eat, do, not do. But Paul has told them, hasn't he? That's a wonderful expression in chapter 2 and verse 10. You're complete in Jesus. They've been delivered from legalism. They've been delivered from trying to earn their salvation because Christ has done everything for them, provided everything for them. He's made them acceptable to God. He's made them complete. There's nothing to be added. Everything is there in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they're now set free. Free to live the whole of their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not simply we've got a list of things that we do and we don't do. It's far more glorious than that. It's far more comprehensive than that. We've been freed and delivered so that a whole of our lives, it's been transformed to live them for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this brings purpose and it brings joy to the most mundane tasks. It brings significance to the most trivial events of our lives. It also gives us a guide, doesn't it? A good guide to whether we ought to be doing something or not, or saying something or not. Whatever we do, we should be asking, can I do this for the Lord? Can I do this giving thanks to the Lord? Can I do this to the glory of the Lord? If the answer is no, if we can't bring the matter to the Lord, if we're trying to push the Lord out of our thoughts as we're doing this thing, it's a good indication that we shouldn't be doing it. So notice with me the scope of these words. Whatever you do, whatever you do this year, these words shape that. And so what does Paul do? Well, he sort of gives us a number of principles, doesn't he, that we're to bring to every activity, that we're to bring to every word. He gives us principles with which we're to approach everything we do and say that there are four of them. Let's just note them. So verse 17, we're to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then also verse 17, we're to do everything giving thanks to God the Father. And then down to verse 23, we're to do everything heartily. And then fourthly, in verse 23 again, we're to do everything as to the Lord and not to men. So these are the things, whatever you're doing, whatever you're about to say, whatever action you're doing, these are the things that you apply to and say, this is how I've got to do it. So let's just think about each one of them for a while. So first of all, do all, verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, I would suggest to you two things that it means. First of all, it means that you do it as one who bears his name. So that's the first thing we need to remember as we do everything, as we say everything, that as Christians, all that we do and say takes on a new significance because we're not just acting for ourselves. We're not just speaking for ourselves. We're speaking as Christians. We're speaking for the Lord. We bear the Lord's name. So what we do reflects on him. It either honours him or dishonours him. It's very clear, isn't it, in the New Testament that we are Christ's representatives in this world. Jesus isn't here. He's in heaven. People can't see him. Who do they see? They see his people. And that's true of us all of the time, isn't it? So we can't switch on and off. There's not times when we're on duty and times when we're off duty. We can't say, well, now I'm acting for Jesus and now I'm speaking for Jesus and now I'm not. This is true of us all of the time. Whatever we're doing it in his name. We're doing it in the name Christian, aren't we? So whether we're at home doing chores or at work or eating a meal or playing a game of football or speaking to our neighbour or sitting at your desk at school or... you're there in Christ's name. You're there representing him. Of course, that means that adds significance to everything we do, doesn't it? Nothing can be the same once we grasp that. Because every action and every word, we're representing the King of Kings. And we either honour him or we dishonour him with what we do. So how careful we need to be. And how thankful we can be that I think also this doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus not only means doing it bearing his name, but doing it asking for his help. Doing it in the strength of the Lord Jesus. In the name of also sort of carries that meaning of calling on the name of. Doing it in reliance on the Lord. So what I'm saying to you this morning, what I'm calling you and myself to this morning, we haven't got to try and do it in our own strength. We can't possibly do that. So that whatever we're doing, we do it in the Lord's name. We do it calling on his name. We go, Lord, I want to live this for you today. I want to represent you today. I want all my words and all my actions to be for your glory. But I can't do that myself. So I'm bringing it to you. I'm asking for your help. I'm asking for your presence. I'm asking for your blessing upon all of this. I'm doing it in your name. We often say that, don't we, at the end of our prayer. We pray, oh, it's in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're doing it, Lord, we need you. We need your help. We need your strength. And that's got to be part of our communion with the Lord, isn't it? That as we go through the day, and as we go through our lives, as we go through this year, we're looking to the Lord. We're saying, Lord, help me in this. Help me in that. Help me to do this for your glory. Help me to speak for in a way that honours you. So again, whatever we do, however small and trivial it might seem, we should be able to bring it to the Lord. We should be able to say, Lord, help me to do this well. Help me to do this in the right way. Help me to honour you in doing this. And again, that's a good indication of whether something's right or not. You know, can you pray about it? Can I bring this activity to the Lord. Can I ask the Lord's blessing as I read this book or watch this film or go to this place or begin this relationship or whatever it might be? Can I pray about it? Can I bring it to the Lord? And if you can't, it's probably a good indication again that you shouldn't be doing. So, whatever we do, we do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. We represent him and we need his help to do it. That's the first thing. Then secondly, what's the second principle? Well, it's this, that we do everything giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's again verse 17, isn't it? So that tells us that all we do and all that we say is to be done and said with a spirit of thankfulness. Thanking our Heavenly Father for all that he is, for all that he's done for us, for all that he gives to us. So that's one of the things that comes out in this chapter. We're to be a thankful people. Look at the end of verse 15. When he said all that we're to be marked by kindness and humility and love. And he says, and be thankful. Be a thankful people. Make sure that in everything, in every aspect of your life, thankfulness pours out of you. We know, don't we, that everything we have comes from God. Do we believe that? We believe that everything we've enjoyed this past year, it's come from one source, ultimately. Our Heavenly Father. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, doesn't it? That's what James tells us. So our life, our strength, our food, our drink, our homes, our gardens, our hobbies, our gifts, our abilities, our jobs, our friends that we enjoy those things with, they've all come, they're gracious gifts from God in heaven. So that as we do things and as we enter into things, we are to do that with thankfulness. And that should change everything, shouldn't it? So you may be doing a job and it's not the most interesting job. You might not have the most interesting job, or parts of it might not be very interesting, but you can thank the Heavenly Father you've got a job. And with the money you earn, you can provide for your family and support the work of the gospel and help those who are in need, and you can be thankful for that. Or there you are in class, or you're at school and it's maths. And you perhaps you don't like maths very much, but you can thank the Lord for maths, because even though you and I might not understand it, it's a wonderful thing. And you can thank the Lord you've got a school to go to, because there's lots of children who haven't got a school to go to and haven't got a teacher to teach them. And you've got a brain, you've got eyes to see the board, and so we can go on. So, or I could be at home and I can't have family round or friends round, and there's things I can't do at the moment with all that's going on. I could be exceedingly grumpy and complaining, and yet what am I to be? I'm to be thankful. I've got lots of things to be thankful for. Many blessings. Or eating a meal today. We sit down for our lunch. Everything's different at the moment, isn't it? We're having lasagna today. But you can be thankful for that, and we give thanks and rejoice in all that God gives us. What we're to be, aren't we? Thankful people. And it's an important point, isn't it? It should mark us out from people around us. That we are a people who are conscious that we don't deserve anything, and everything we've ever had that's good is from a kind, gracious God. We need to express that. It should be one of the ways that we stand out. If you're not a Christian here this morning or watching on this morning, the same is true for you. Everything you've ever had has come from God. And part of your sin is that you won't recognize that. You want everything God gives you, but you won't have God himself. And that's sinful, and it's tragic, isn't it? To live like that. To say, I want all that God can give me, but I don't want him. When He's so good, and that life is knowing him. So what are we to do? We're to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Conscious that we're representing him, knowing that we need his help. We're to do everything giving thanks to God the Father with a thankful spirit. Thirdly, we're to do everything heartily. Look back to verse 23 now. Whatever you do, do it heartily. Literally, it's with the soul, the Greek is. We're putting your soul into it. Now, of course, there, Paul is especially addressing servants working for their masters, and they're to do their work heartily. But it's a general principle, isn't it? That whatever we're doing, we should do it heartily. We should do it with energy and with enthusiasm. We shouldn't be marked by sort of half-heartedness or laziness. What we do, we're to do well, with enthusiasm, with care, with diligence. I think that as Christians, we should be enthusiastic about life. We should embrace life and the things that we do. Now, I realise that we're all different personalities, and the way some people express enthusiasm is different from others, but we should be. We should embrace life. It's something that God's given to us. And we should do it heartily. And of course that follows on, doesn't it, from what we've already thought about and what we'll think about in a moment. Because if we're aware that we're doing in the Lord's name, representing Him, how we do it reflects on Him, then we can't do it half-heartedly, can we? We'll want to do it with enthusiasm because we're representing Him. And if we do things, and as we do it, we're conscious of thankfulness and all that we have to be thankful for, then that will make us more enthusiastic and to do things heartily. So if something's worth doing, it's worth doing well. We all have different gifts, we all have different abilities, we all have different interests and hobbies, so some will be better at one thing than others. But in terms of our attitude, how we approach things, it should be heartily. Here we are, the Lord's given us life. The Lord's called us to be His people. The Lord's called us to be ambassadors for Him. The Lord's called us to live in His world, in relationship with Him. He's blessed us with all good things, and we should embrace that and give ourselves heartily to it. I wonder whether we do. It's quite tiring, isn't it, at the moment, life, and with all that's going on, and we can become downcast and we can lose that sort of enthusiasm for life and all that God's given us. And we need to remember again who we are and who we serve and what we have to be thankful for. Then one last thing: we're to do everything then as unto the Lord and not to men. Whatever you do, do it heartily. Verse 23, as to the Lord and not to men. There is something wearisome, isn't there, about doing stuff just to try and please other people, just with other people in view. That's our day, isn't it? Worrying about how many likes you've had, or how many views you've had, or how many followers you've got, whatever it might be. What do people think about me? And of course, we're not completely unmindful of that, but it's something wearisome, isn't there? About worrying about that. And as Christians, we've been delivered from that. Because we're to do everything for the Lord. Not only do we do it all in the Lord's name, representing Him, but we do everything we do firstly and primarily for the Lord. That means for His glory and praise, as an act of worship to Him, as part of living in our lives to honour Him and bring glory to His name. So that means that whatever we're doing, our direction is heavenwards. I think that's partly what it means in the opening verses of the chapter. Setting our minds on things above. Doesn't mean that we never do anything in this world. We just sort of think about floating around on a cloud or what we're going to sing when we get to heaven. But it means that as we live in this world and do all the things we do it with the Lord in view. That we're honouring Him and pleasing Him and serving Him and doing it for His glory, and He's watching us, and we want to please Him more than anything else. It's our whole life is worship, isn't it? We know that when we gather together, and we come to worship. There's something wonderful and unique about that, but we also know, don't we, that the whole of our lives are worship, that we do everything in a way that is worship to the Lord. So that Paul writes, doesn't he, in Romans 12 verse 1, how we're to presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, is one of the ways of translating, isn't it? Your spiritual act of worship, that everything we do is an act of worship to the Lord. And Paul makes the point, doesn't he, in verse 24, you serve the Lord Christ. That's who your boss is. That's who we're serving, ultimately. We're serving Jesus Christ. I love that, the way that King Darius speaks of Daniel as he's about to throw him into the lion's den. And he says, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you from the lions. So he'd watched Daniel, and Daniel was a civil servant, wasn't he? And yet Darius knew that ultimately Daniel served somebody else, that all the time he was serving his Lord. That's how we're to live. That's how this passage is calling us to live. So that whatever we're doing it for the Lord, serving him. I mean, what greater privilege could we have than that? We're looking not for the praise of men, but we know that the Lord has that reward of the inheritance there in verse 24. So we're not living for this world. We're not just storing up treasure on earth, but treasure in heaven. And our thoughts are, you know, are heavenwards in that sense. And we get a bit nervous, don't we, about rewards in the Bible, because we think, well, we're all saved by grace, and it's all what Jesus has done, and we get a bit twitchy about when the Bible speaks about rewards. But it doesn't mean that we earn it, or that we, in that sense, deserve it, but it does mean that the Lord, how we live and how we serve the Lord is noted, isn't it? And it's reflected and honoured and rewarded in glory. Now, of course, we know that everything we do in the Lord's strength and with his grace. And so there won't be any pride, and we'll give him all the glory, and we'll cast our crowns before him. But as we live in this world, and as we do our jobs, and as we go about our lives, it's with that we want to please the Lord, who's got our inheritance. We want to store up treasure in heaven. And live in that way. That will help us to do things heartily, because we're doing it for the one who's loved us and given himself for us and died in our place. So as we head out into this new year then, here's how we're to do it. With this in mind, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Remembering that we're representing him, we're looking to him, we're walking with him, we're doing it all for his honour and his glory. It really is a picture of a life in fellowship with the Lord. This is what it means to walk with the Lord. This is what it means to know God. This is what Adam and Eve knew in the Garden of Eden. And it's what's the prospect before us, isn't it, in the new creation, that we'll live in that world, and we'll live it in it in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that life this morning? Do you know this life? Are you living it? Does your heart beat a little bit faster when you think about these things? It's what it is to really be alive. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, you can't have that life. The first thing you must do is come to him and trust him and ask him to save you and to give you this life, so that you can begin to walk with him and trust him and discover what life is really, really all about. Well, may God write his word on our hearts and give us that hunger for that and that desire for that as we head out into this year.